Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26 to 31 echo these sentiments. You shall not eat anything with blood, nor practice divination or soothsaying. Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. In fact, Exodus 22 and verse 17 commands Israel that they should not even allow a sorceress to live. Once again, I will quote Torah Club Volume 5. It is one of the 613 commandments to not allow a sorcerer to live. Sorcery is the attempt to control the natural world through manipulation of spiritual powers. It is an attempt to circumvent God's authority and appeal to the power of the adversary, or the lower orders of God's retinue. Thus, the Talmud teaches that the word for sorcery, kashuf, is a contraction of the Hebrew phrase, they deny the divine retinue. Objections based upon medieval witch hunts or the American Salem witch trials are likely to spring to mind. Yet we must keep in mind that these commandments are not issued to vigilantes, and every matter must be established by due process and two valid witnesses. In the case of a sorcery trial, tradition requires a Beit Din of Torah law with no less than 23 judges. Just like with idolatry, we see that Israel struggled with divination and sorcery as well. Hashem states in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 17, "Then they made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire, and practiced divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him." Unfortunately, we see this type of accusation toward Israel reported over and over in the Tanakh. There is even the story in 1 Samuel of Saul consulting with the witch of Endor in order to arouse the spirit of Samuel after he was dead. Her magic works, and Saul actually has a conversation with Samuel. In the Torah, divination and enchantments are serious issues and not just a matter of make-believe and pretend. Israel is not to participate in any form of divination or witchcraft in any way. This has many applications for our current day. Time does not permit us to cover all the commandments relating to idolatry and avodah zarah. There are many other prohibitions that we did not cover, such as those regarding not prophesying in the name of an idol and the proscription not to lead any of the children of Israel astray into idolatry. There are the mitzvot to neither make a covenant nor show favor to idolaters and to destroy idolatrous cities and never rebuild them again. Also included is the prohibition of not giving one's offspring to Molech. It is important to realize that many of these commandments are not enforced today without a legitimate Sanhedrin functioning in Jerusalem. In addition, many of these mitzvot, such as executing idolaters and destroying the city of idolaters, are only applicable within the land of Israel and would not be practiced outside of it. It would therefore be irresponsible and dangerous to take all the commandments about stomping out idolatry and try to apply them in the diaspora. With all that said, it should also be pointed out that these commandments to wipe out idolatry were given to Israel and for them as people within their land. While Israel was to be a light to those around them and certainly hoped to draw non-Jews unto the one true God, they were not on a personal crusade to forcefully wipe out idolatry from the earth. It was not commanded of them to destroy all the high places and pagan temples outside of Israel. Instead, they believed what was written so many times in the prophets, that one day, during the Messianic era, all the nations of the earth would turn to worship Hashem. This is reflected in the traditional Siddur prayer called the Eleinu that concludes just about every synagogue service. It quotes prophecies from Isaiah 45 and Zechariah 14. The second half reads, "Therefore we will hope in you, O Lord our God, to see quickly the majesty of your strength, to cause idolatry to pass from the earth, and the idols will be utterly cut down, to repair the world in the kingdom of Shaddai. And all humankind will call on your name to cause all the wicked ones of the earth to turn to you. All of the world's inhabitants will recognize and know that to you every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance. Before you, O Lord our God, they will bend their knees and fall, and they will give glory to your precious name. They will all receive the yoke of your kingdom, and you will reign over them quickly, forever and ever. For the kingdom is yours, and forever and ever you will reign gloriously. As it is written in your Torah, the Lord will reign forever and ever. And as it is said, and the Lord will be king over the whole earth. In that day the Lord will be one, and his name will be one. We have already seen the beginning of the fulfillment of this prayer since the time of Yeshua's advent. But one day, upon his second coming, every knee will bow. With that said, there are still many of the Avodah Zarah mitzvot that are enforced today, and as we progress forward with this series, we will learn how to apply them to our everyday life. As I said at the outset, paganism is as real today as it was in the time of the Bible. There is much to learn. In this lecture, we explored the concepts of idolatry and paganism from the perspective of the Torah, both from a historical and legal point of view. In the next CD, we will pick up in the time period of the apostolic writings and examine how Yeshua and the earliest disciples dealt with the issues of Avodah Zarah.